Welcome to Parc Fermé, the Canadian Formula One podcast.
That's P3.
Oi, oi, oi!
Okay, mate, woo! Purple.
Hey, he's got another podium. Who would have thought?
We talk race reviews, news from the paddock, and bring you everything from the world of Formula One.
And something to limit the problem. Congratulations.
Well, change your car. You've got a problem. Change your fucking car.
You change your car because Checo has been saying the car is fucked up.
And now your hosts, Drew, Walker, Ed, and Tomas.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Parc Fermé F1 Podcast. I am here with the boys, Mr. Drew, Mr. Edward, Walker, and myself in the bunker, Thomas. Without further ado, I'm going to pass this on to Walker.
Thank you, Thomas, for that enthusiastic intro. I really appreciate that. Maybe everyone should take a turn doing the intro day-to-day, because I think it adds a little bit of spice.
I think so, too. Walker, yeah. You're up.
Okay, so this is it, boys. The season is done. Formula One 2023 in the books. I think there were, you know, we're not going to go over the race and kind of what happened the last few, because it's been a few weeks removed. We've been a little bit behind, just so all the people out there in podcast land, but, you know, there's lots of other stuff going on right now with everybody. It's the holiday season. So we thought we'd maybe take this opportunity to do a quick recap, maybe throw a few arbitrary grades around as we go team by team and talk about how they did, how we thought they would do. Did they meet our expectations? Were they absolute epic disappointments? Maybe we can start there. Let's look at some of the teams. Drew, do you want to kick us off and maybe talk about some of the teams that surprised you this year? Or maybe we should just go one by one. I can rhyme them off for you if you like. And we can throw some grades around. We can go around the table.
Yeah, let's go around. And, like, I think, you know, let's just drop a couple of teams and just kind of, you know, like you'd said already, I kind of just want to rate the teams against kind of what we thought they were supposed to do this season versus obviously everybody trying to rate them, like, best to worst. Because, like, obviously compared to Red Bull this year, everyone's going to get a D minus. So I think the reality is, like, you know, we should go team by team and just kind of rate them on what we expected out of them to what the reality played out like.
Okay. I'm going to start us off here. I will name the teams. We're going to start from the top of the order. This one should be pretty easy. Let's start with Red Bull. What are we grading them for this season?
Anything less than an A plus is an absolute travesty. I think the reality is, like, you know, as of like March, April this year, they'd stopped working on their car for 2023 and they were already into 2024 and likely into 2025 at this point. So, you know, Checo had a great start to the season. Max was just kind of figuring out the car, but once they got that dialed in, you know, Red Bull didn't make mistakes. And when they did make small minor errors in team orders or in how things played out with, you know, dumb luck, they never got unlucky. And I think that's because they were so dialed in that things just didn't go wrong for them. Like, even when things were going wrong, they still knew they had a good enough car and a good enough driver to make up for any mistakes that happened. So that's, I guess, yeah, it's an A plus for me. What else is there to say?
A plus. Anyone on the panel have any other ideas about Red Bull? Anything to dispute that A plus, or we just
I'm gonna agree, but I'm gonna give it A plus plus, just because they were unbeatable and they really showed off what they're capable of, and they did an amazing job. As much as me and Ed probably like to shit talk them, how, you know, they're always winning and they're always, it's kind of boring, but they, in this case, A plus plus for sure.
All right, well, Ed, unless you have something insightful to say, I think we can move on. A plus, valedictorian, fucking top of class. They just nailed it. Second team. Thanks for that, Drew.
We got a hand wave for all you in audio land. We got a hand wave.
I was going to say an awkward thumbs up by Drew. Let's go with the team that finished in second place, Mercedes AMG Petronas. Ed, what do you think? You want to start us off? AMG, Mercedes, how'd they rank? What would you give them in the grade?
I'd say a B minus.
B minus?
Yeah, their car was crap this year. And the only reason why they're in the B's is that it was a slow climb, and I attribute their wins to the drivers, like the tenacity of the drivers just wanting to compete. Car's trash. Sad to say.
And by wins, you mean like moral victories, because there weren't a lot of other ones this season.
Damn.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Say less.
All right. We got a B minus, I think, from Ed Thomas.
I'm gonna say a C. Just because I expected them to do so much better, especially with Drive to Survive last season, Toto Wolff. Everyone has a target under their backs, blah, blah, blah. And then, I'm sorry, Toto, but your team was shit. And I think we all expected a little bit more from them. They weren't shit, but from what I was expecting them to at least challenge Red Bull a little bit, which there was almost no challenge at all to Red Bull. And as Dad said, their car wasn't the greatest either. I don't think they deserve a B. I think they're a solid C.
I disagree. I think they do deserve a B, and I don't know if the team as a whole deserves a B, but to touch on what Ed said, I absolutely think the drivers drove the shit out of that car, because the reality is it was a junk car. But the consistency, those guys absolutely did the best with the tools that they had. And I think the reality is that, like, there weren't a lot of mistakes. There were a couple of bad calls in terms of like leaving Lewis or George out, and like they were hedging their bets, and like this one's going to do strategy A, this one's going to do strategy B, and one of them failed. But like, that's why they hedged their bets that way, so like they didn't have two cars out of the points or whatever the scenario was. But I think their car was trash, we'll start there. And if it was just based on their car, they would have a big fat fucking F, and as far as I'm concerned. But I think that the team did the best with what they had, to kind of summarize that up.
Yeah, so I think, when we're looking at it in the context of like, how did they do compared to what our expectations were, right? So I don't know if I had really high expectations for Mercedes this year. Overall, I'm going to give them an A minus. I'm going to tell you why. I think they started rebuilding. They basically started with a new car 4 races into the season, right? They started with the same concept that last year wasn't working. No, everyone knew it wasn't really going to work, but they had to build a new car kind of mid-season and try and salvage what they could. I think they did, an admirable job considering where they were. And Drew, you talked about consistency. I think I saw it today. There was some stat about the only two drivers to finish in the top 10 of every race that they finished was Max and Lewis. So I think that says something to the reliability of the car, obviously was pretty good this year. And just driver tenacity, which you guys all talked about as well, and really extracting the most out of the car. So, again, looking at it in the lens of how do we think they did compared to how do we think they would have done, what was that performance gap? I think they actually deserve a pretty admirable mark for what they were able to extract from that car this season. I'm going A minus. Let's go to number 3 on the list. Ferrari.
They were the only other team to win a race this year. That has to
Ferrari?
Go. Ferrari. Like,
yeah, but again, it's about expectations though, right? Like, how close were they to what we expected their potential to be?
Well,
right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So based on that exact point, and like, I guess, coming back to that every time is a good idea, because I didn't have high expectations for them either, in all fairness. Like, I didn't think that they were going to be like smashing it against Red Bull. I knew that Red Bull was going to be walking away with this. I don't know if I knew to the degree. Like, I didn't think that Max would be like 20 seconds plus per race, like in the lead. I thought, Ferrari and Mercedes were going to be a lot closer to Red Bull, but the reality is they weren't. They were just that far away.
But I did expect Ferrari and Red Bull to be in a scrap. That's a hundred, or sorry, Ferrari and Mercedes to be in a scrap, and that's 100% what happened. Like, it came down to the last race. You know, Ferrari had a tough start to the season, but ended super strong. And Mercedes, they were never great and they were never terrible, but that consistency, like you said, Walker, kind of allowed them to remain at that second place. And like,
so what's the grade? Let's see your grade, Ferrari.
B+.
B plus, interesting.
I'm gonna say Thomas? The same thing. Ferrari, in my books, in my opinion, I think they impressed me more than Mercedes. Charles were doing a phenomenal job. Yes, they did not start off on a strong note. You know, we all know Ferrari had its fair share of fuck ups because of the shitty calls. It feels like Charles and Carlos were doing a lot of their own strategy from the looks of it, and I was genuinely impressed by the fight they put up to the other teams. I thought honestly they were gonna do worse than what they did, and my rating would also be a B+.
I don't know, for me I'd go for an A-, because I have a feeling that they were handicapped this season.
I agree with that.
No. I'm being serious about this. So I don't know where I heard it from, but like they were saying that Charles was like being told to not drive the car too hard, and he would only push it during quali, go for his quali lap, and yes, of course, like he'd hit his pole positions and whatnot, but during the race in itself, like they were saying that the car was not able to withstand the amount of punishment that he can actually deliver to the car.
So are you giving Ferrari a special needs assessment here?
Probably. I could. You can say that. A little bit of a special needs.
So they get to. Do they get to take their test like in a separate room and have as long as they want to do the test? Or
I think that's technically what it is. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, with Charles Leclerc just shitting the bed all the time, pushing to the extent of crashing cars during quali, or like Carlos Sainz with this technique of holding back or giving a toe to the McLaren behind him so that, you know, they can keep the position. Either which way, like this season for me with Ferrari has been like really weird in a sense, but they still kept up with, you know, part of top three, even with everything that they've done.
So you're going, what do you say, B+?
No, A-. A-.
Excuse me.
Yeah. A-.
Okay. I'm going C- on Ferrari because they just disappointed me all season. They had a few good races, but honestly, just a bunch of disappointments. The whole fucking team. Let's go. McLaren. Who wants to start us off? Who has something to say about McLaren? I know, Drew, you fucking love those boys.
I do. I do.
Look at this guy.
You do.
I fucking do like those guys. You know what? They didn't come out strong. And like they kept talking about this fucking wind tunnel and all this nonstop with this whole. Man, did those boys show up to bat late in the last half of the season. Like after they did those desert races, bro, they just came back slapping around. And to me, like, it just allowed those guys to kind of drive the way they want to and to compete in a car that like actually, you know, didn't give them a shot against Red Bull, but nobody did this year, but it gave them a shot against Ferrari and Mercedes, which had leaps and bounds over them from the start. And they took the fight to Aston Martin, who came out of this year. You know, we'll talk about them later, but like, I don't know. I thought they did great. Like my expectation level for McLaren as a whole, since I've been watching Formula One since like the 2015, 2016 season, I haven't had high hopes for them. You know what I mean? And like, ultimately they've surprised me in all the best ways. I'm going to give those guys an A, because if they start off next year with any sort of the moxie and vuve that they ended the year with, I'm really excited to see those guys compete next year. So I'm gonna go with an A. Yeah.
I'm gonna agree with you on that, Drew. The McLaren team, McLaren drivers, they were probably one of the most of the whole grid, the two drivers that were most interesting to watch in regards to their strategy, their fights with other teams, 100%. I think what you said, they showed up late. If they would have started the season like this, who knows where they would have ended up. For me, it would be a minus on their performance. And if they continue this into the next year with the same strategy, the way they finished it off, or with the same car, with the same attitude of winning races, I think they're going to get there. Edward?
A plus. They sandbag to like the half of the season. And yeah, like they all came to race.
Do you think they were sandbagging though? Do you actually think they were sandbagging?
I feel like they were. But you know what? It's a good play though. It's a good play because they saw Aston Martin, which again we'll talk about in a little bit, like taking it and then like, you know, getting podiums. Possibly the wind tunnel experiment that they have. And testing and yeah, just making sure. And I think they didn't want to bring out all of their upgrades up until they were really sure that everything was going to work together. So yes, they were sandbagging, but they were also being sure as well. But on top of all of the upgrades, the two drivers, guys, come on. Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, every race in the second half, always coming with the vengeance, that wanting to be, you know, wanting to be a top team again. So I'm gonna give them an A+. Very surprised. I did not see them coming and did not see them taking it to Red Bull, to Mercedes, to Ferrari, and to Aston Martin. So A+. Walker?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Ed. I'm kind of caught in between an A and an A+, but I think we're going to give it to them. They came on strong. I don't know if they were sandbagging. I think they just had a bit of a shit car that was, you know, left over from last year. But whatever they did to it, based on where my expectations were for them, which was not very high, I think they did an admirable job this season. I'm going to give them an A+. Now we get into the fun stuff. Let's talk about Aston Martin.
I want to start off with that because I'm pretty sure where we all want to start off with that is they showed up very, very strong at the beginning of the season. I had very, very high hopes for the team, for the drivers. And then, you know, they had some decent races. And then when they brought out the upgrades, it was almost like a downgrade because the performance showed that they were not doing as well as they should have been. And it really caught me off guard and surprised me. Like with having a good driver, by that I mean Alonso, I'm not going to even mention Stroll really. But even he was struggling to bring back points and wins. And the team just made a bad call or with their upgrades or don't know what was going on. But once they reversed it back to their original design, it started picking up again. So don't know what kind of fuckery happened on their side. They need to sort their shit out together. And yeah, that was a very confusing team.
Okay, what's the grade?
What's the grade? I don't know. Probably, you know what? A C-.
Oh, that's not so bad.
See, okay, I'm going to go a different way.
That's a pass.
C- is a pass. I think they all get a pass. No one died. But I think
I've got a fail coming up.
But I also didn't have high expectations for them. Like, they surprised me. Like, coming out of the gate, like, everybody I can agree was like, who the fuck are these guys? They're on the podium. And Alonso's like, oh, I'll never not be on the podium this year. Well, like, obviously that didn't happen. But, like, they came out and shocked everybody. And, like, I wanted them to win because I knew that they were the underdogs. And I didn't think they were going to win, but I wanted them to do well. And, you know, like you'd mentioned, Thomas, like, the halfway point through the year, like, they just kept going down and down. Like, all their upgrades, like you said, were downgrades. And until the very end of the year, they started picking it back up again a little bit, but they were racing with one driver like all year. You know what I mean? Like Stroll got in whatever accident he's claiming he got into, like a bicycle accident and broke his wrist, and then like raced in the next. Give me a fucking break. Like you can drive a car with a broken wrist. Give me a break. Like I can't even drive a stick car. Like I broke my wrist and I couldn't even drive a stick car, like a commercial, you know, customer car, not a Formula One like rocket ship. So like, don't hand me that shit. Like you were whatever. I don't want to get into conspiracy theories. The reality is he got hurt. He wasn't able to drive. He was fully healed, still wasn't able to drive. But my expectation level was, you know, just above zero. So like, I'm going to give them a B plus because like, I didn't have high hopes and they came out strong. They like the fact that we're even talking about them as like a top team is bananas. So that's, I got to get a B plus.
I would say C plus. Fernando did his best. So the grade for me is just purely Fernando. He pretty much carried the entire team with, you know, a nice car at the start of the season. Then after the break, it's just like one problem after the other. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know what upgrades they were doing. They were downgrades. But that grade, that C plus, is only for Fernando. I'm going to give an F to my boy Stroll.
This is a
get out of F1.
Game. This is a team game.
It's a team game. Nope. You can't separate. Nope. You can't separate them.
Get out of F1.
Then the Rebel conversation would be very different too.
That would be very different. Be very different.
No, but yeah, no. I just don't like Stroll. Like everything that he represents now.
You know what? Save that. We can talk about that in a second. Yeah. All right. Just hold on to that thought. Hold on to that angst. Yeah. We're gonna need that bitter resentment.
That's him holding on to the angst and bitter resentment.
Aston Martin. I don't know. I don't think I expected much from them. It's funny. I feel like they ended exactly where I thought they would end. Somewhere in the middle, they had a bit of a roller coaster season where they had like big highs and low lows, and somehow it just kind of evens out. So I don't know what's an average grade. Is C in the middle? Is C kind of like an average middle of the road grade? Because I feel like I'm going to give them a C because I had zero expectations of them and they kind of met those zero expectations. Alpine. That's a interesting one, at least for me. You know, I'm just going to start this off.
Please
I'm
going to
give them a fucking D minus. Because I had such high hopes for that team.
Damn.
I'm verging on it. I'm saving the F for somebody else. I thought they had a strong driver lineup. I thought they had, you know, a lot of potential in the car. And they were just nowhere. The team was a mess. The management was a mess. The results were nowhere. The fact that they finished sixth is just a testament to how terrible the rest of the field is. Because I think they're just... They were a massive disappointment for me. So D minus for Alpine. Fucking Frenchies.
Fuck. All right. That's fucking cold, Walker. God damn.
Wow. Tell us how you feel. I like it.
I was expecting. I wanted the passion from the French. I wanted them to come and like dominate some races. And I thought they would be challenging, you know, for like fifth.
You know what? I'm gonna jump in here quickly because I think I'm in agreement with you. I'm not gonna give them a D minus, but like they did finish exactly where I expected them to finish. I think because I had lower expectations for the rest of the grid. So like I'm gonna give them a C plus. But that's just because I didn't have high expectations. So like they landed exactly kind of where they were, but the team was a disaster. Like I thought, you know, when the whole consortium bought them and we had Ryan Reynolds on board and a couple of the celebrities were all there, I was like, where are they going with this? Like, is this just like a media play, like a money play? Like, because it's not about an F1 play because they could not get their shit together. And like, I would argue those two guys are like above average drivers. They're not outstanding, great drivers. They're not going to be remembered, you know, 40 years from now, but like they will, they're good drivers. Like they're better than the average. And like, I just think my expectation level was mediocre. The results were mediocre. And you know, they got lucky a couple times because Alpine always seems to get lucky somehow. And they just, yeah, they landed exactly where I saw. They're going to get a C-plus from this guy.
I'm going to say a solid C just because, again, their driver lineup, same thing as both of you guys. You know, they seem to have okay driver lineup. It's hit or miss with them. Sometimes lucky, sometimes not. But their whole, basically what you guys said, their whole team fiasco strategy and everything like that, it just was not there. Wasn't really expecting anything big from them either. I did have a feeling they're not going to finish at the very bottom, but, you know, solid C on my end.
Same, just a C. Nothing really to say about that team at this point. So let's
move on. All right. All right, Williams, this is an interesting one. Who wants to start us off on Williams?
I can start.
All right, Ed.
I'm going to say that they, I'd give them a B plus. I expected them to be at the bottom. You had Logan Sargeant. Don't know. Had no racing pedigree. Not a lot of drivers knew him as he was going up into Formula One. Alex Albon came and showed up with what he had, and there were some, you know, moments of magic. Williams being in Q3, unheard of. This season, I knew that they were supposed to be at the bottom. They're not. They're leading the back markers. So, very surprised.
That's a good way of putting it.
What a comment. That should be their tagline. We're leading the back markers. Like, fucking up.
The entire season, everyone was racing for second place. Leading the back markers, that's good enough. with what we expected from Williams.
Running for seventh and eighth place, though. Like, okay. Well, let's. They are.
They are.
But yeah. You know they what? Are. Exactly.
And I'm going to give them the same mark. I'm going to give them a B plus too. Obviously, Williams, like the expectation level, at least since I've been watching Formula One for Williams, has always been like, just finish the race. And like, that's a W for these guys. Logan Sargeant does absolutely nothing for me. I think Alex Albon drove the tires off that car every single time he got in it. And Williams made a couple of lucky calls, like that rain call that they made where like he stayed out on the slicks and everybody else went to wets. And this guy like gunned it to like, you know, I think he was P2 or something like that going into the race day. I can't even remember if it was Spa or something. Anyways, I thought that was quite entertaining. Williams came out and surprised me. Were they like the top tier? I think if Albon had a twin and he was in the other car, I would be giving these guys well into the A's, maybe even an A+. But the fact that Logan Sargeant spent $4 million of Williams' hard-earned money putting that car into the wall just blows my mind. Blows my mind. So, yeah, I'm going to get a B-plus out of me too, buddy.
I'm going to go a little bit different. I'm going to go with a C-plus. First of all, is because it's Williams, I don't really like that team. There's nothing special to me about that team. So there's a little bit personal thing there. Second of all,
it's one of the most historic teams on the grid. What do you mean there's nothing special about that team?
Don't give a shit about Williams right now. Well, I don't like their team right now as it stands. Let's just leave it at that. Second of all,
what would make you like
get
them?
Rid of Logan Sargeant?
What is it about that?
Get rid of Logan Sargeant.
Okay.
Mr. What's a kilometer?
Exactly. Logan Sargeant does nothing, just like what you all guys said. Alex Albon, I don't like him as a driver, but man, he did drive the piss out of that car. He genuinely impressed me. C+, that's all I have to say.
You don't like Albon? No, I don't. Either, huh? Interesting.
I like Albon.
Well,
I don't really like him.
He's like a scrappy kid.
The short end of the stick. I think, you know, I listened to a podcast about Alex Albon and like his history, and I don't know if you guys have done any digging on like his whole mom being like a fraud and this whole like she was in prison and stuff like that. Like, he doesn't look like the underdog story, but like that guy literally, I wouldn't call him underdog because they had a bunch of fraudulent money that they pissed away on his racing career. So like he definitely had a little bit of like, you know, free money going around. Anyways, you can't give him any shit for that, but like the fact that he was able to keep his head in the game and like, I don't know. I just think that if he was given a better chance, that he would be a much better, a much better driver. But like, he's in a Williams, and the fact that this guy was in Q3 ever is bananas.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to stick him with a B, for everything you guys have already talked about. And you know what? It could have been higher if he wasn't handicapped by his co-driver in the other car. But I think given their budget, given the kind of turmoil they've been through, given the fact that they have a fucking Duracell battery like right above their head, fucking ugly livery. And they also had a new team principal this year, which I think added a lot of stability to the team. So overall, I think they did really well. And if we were just isolating this to qualifying to like kind of like one lap pace, I think they would have done even better. But season as a whole, I'm going to give them a B. Moving on, eighth on the grid by like a hair because they came on strong in the second half or the last few races is AlphaTauri. Anyone have anything positive to say about them? Can we pour one out for Nyck de Vries?
you can pour guy. A couple out for Nyck de Vries. Has anyone checked out the socials lately? He's in some like Japanese league racing some crazy cars. Like, remember he went to like,
I think it's like Le Mans series, like kind of like Le Mans.
Yeah, I think something like that. But like, yeah. Didn't he like leave to go be some like grad student at fucking Harvard or something like that into business law? They didn't take him very long to kick his ass out of Harvard, eh? And they were like, yo, fuck this little
prick. He could still be doing it.
I guess.
He could still be doing it. You don't know.
Who takes Harvard part-time in a different time zone? He races in Japan. Like, who does
apparently
that?
Nyck de Vries does man. That.
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants to, man.
Why? Because he's Nyck de Vries? Like, that holds any clout these days? Doesn't do shit.
Listen, man, he's already been kicked out of the highest form of racing. He's already been hated by millions of people. I mean, he can only go up from here.
It's true. It's true.
Anyways, Alpha. Let's go to AlphaTauri as a team.
More street cred than fucking Nyck de Vries these days, though, in all fairness.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
So, grades, anything?
You know what? I actually thought they were going to do better. I'm just going to summarize this quick. I don't really want to talk about... I remember there was a point halfway through this season, and I was confidently saying that AlphaTauri had more drivers than points this year because they had 2 points and 3 drivers. That's bad. That's no bueno. That's
pretty funny.
Yeah, that was halfway through the season. So, like, I don't know. I think they're a bit of a mess. I think, you know, the fact that they have a Red Bull, like the same engine as Red Bull, is a testament to how poor that team has been run. So I'm going to give them a C minus.
Okay. Really quickly. Who
I don't want to add anything.
C minus.
Okay. I don't want to add anything to more. I'm going to say D plus.
Kind of a forgettable team this year. Forgettable season. I mean, you know what? The most interesting thing about that team this year was their fucking driver lineup.
Yeah.
And all the drama that happened there. But other than that, it was really quite forgettable. Alfa Romeo.
I want to start this off. Okay.
I know you want to because I know like those are your boys. The way that Drew feels about McLaren is how you feel about Alfa.
Specifically, one boy in particular.
It's a team game, my friend. It's a team,
okay.
Team
well, game. First of all, Joe is useless. So let's just get that out of the way. Bottas, I fucking love him because he's Bottas. But even I was severely disappointed by his performance or lack of performance and the whole team. And they were dog shit. I was not impressed. There was almost no fighting in that team. They weren't even trying to score points. And it was so frustrating watching every single race. And you're like, come on, Bottas, be in the points. Be at least in the points. Bring a couple home. And it's like, nope, like 10 or 11 or 12 or even worse or DNF. And it's like, goddamn, like, you guys suck. I don't know what the fuck was going on, but they sucked. Yeah, again, they had a couple, like, okay races, you know, couple points here and there. But overall rating for me, for them, is an F+.
Does that even work?
Is there such thing as an F+?
I don't know if there is, but they get an F+.
Don't give them a plus. Don't even let them out of that.
It's a fail plus.
It's a fail plus.
You know what? Are you just that doing is that probably out? The best grade you could give them. Like, I actually don't disagree. Like, I don't think giving them a D minus is even worth it. Because, like, personally, I think that team just needs a whole reset. I think the driver lineup they have is okay. Like, I don't think Joe's a bad driver. I don't think Bottas is a bad driver. But I, you know, like to your point, Thomas, like, I don't think they had a, like, a gritty bone in their body. Like, there was no grit. Like, either they just, the drivers knew that their car wasn't able to fight, so they just chose not to fight. Or I don't know if those guys are just, like, there to collect paychecks. But, like, the reality is, like, they were not competitive on any facet. And I would love to see that team do better because, like, their livery's badass and they have, you know, a couple of decent drivers. Like, I think that they, both those guys deserve a better car and a little bit more oomph. Cause I think I would love to see them in that mid pack scrappier because the fact that AlphaTauri in the last, you know, couple races where it was able to outscore you. And like, I don't think they deserved it this year either, but I, you know, they had some serious reliability issues and, you know, just no passion to win. And like the fact that these guys, like, you know, Q2, Q3 was like outstanding results for them in qualifying is just not where I want to see these guys because I've seen Bottas perform in a high, high level. And I just, I don't think that this is the exemplification of his talents and skills. And I think it's just gone to waste, but I'd love to see them get a quick reset. But I'm going to jump on Thomas on with this one and just say that they get an F+.
I think the plus is more for pity. Than anything else.
Yeah, no, because the livery is badass. That's the plus.
That's a plus. All right. Well, for my end, it's a solid F. Williams has more points than them. I wasn't expecting anything, but Williams like scored more points than them. That's a shame.
But we're not comparing that's a them damn though. Shame. We're not comparing them. It's just a kid against.
No. But like, again, expectation. We're talking about expectations today, yeah. Right? Like, I was expecting that Williams is going to be in the bottom, and at the very least, Alpha is going to do something. Nothing. So I'm gonna give them a solid F.
Okay. I too am gonna give them an F. I had much higher hopes for them than they actually performed. I think Joe, I have no idea how Joe still has a ride and Nyck de Vries does not, for the record. Bring back Nyck de Vries. Yeah, I noticed that China money. Thank you, Thomas, for those of you that aren't watching. He just indicated it's all about the money, which it is. Although Nyck de Vries is going to be a fucking Harvard graduate. And you know what? An education like that is priceless. So think about that, Formula One teams.
Yeah, that holds some bearing.
Maybe you could get like Harvard to sponsor a car. That would be badass. Okay.
What Nyck de Vries doesn't drive in? What car would he sponsor?
He's gonna bring that Harvard money with him.
Yeah, they'll start their own
team. It's gonna be great. They'll start their own team.
Yeah.
Okay, let's end this fun game with Haas. Bottom of the barrel, last team on the grid. Same as last year. They got 12 points, which is only 4 less than Alfa Romeo, but maybe we just had much lower expectations. What do you guys think? Really quickly, what's the grade for Haas?
I'm going to give it a C-. And that's only because I really like that driver pairing, and I think they're great qualifying drivers, both of them. Like, they had, like, good pace and qualies, and, like, their one-lap pace was awesome. But that car, even since I've been watching F1, has never had any sort of race pace. Like, the car just falls apart at the wheels, literally, once they start racing in, like, 50 to 70 lap races. But their one-lap pace is phenomenal, and, like, just shit happening. And, like, I remember at specific points in a few of the latter races of the season that they were just getting passed over and over and over again. And it felt like they had no more gas in the tank, figuratively speaking, because they couldn't even fight. And like those guys were sticking their elbows out, making that car as wide as possible. And there was just nothing they could do. And that unfortunately is a team problem. And so I would love to give K-Mag and Nico Hülkenberg more credit because I think that they deserve it. But I think as an overall grade, they're getting a C minus.
I'm going to say a solid D. First of all, basically to add what Drew said, the driver pairing is, I like them both as drivers. I like the team principal, Gunther Steiner, just because he's a fucking character. But I was not expecting anything from the team, honestly, just seeing how they were doing previously. No hopes. I was thinking, or you know, when I was hoping maybe they would be in the points or get, you know, maybe in the top 10. That would be awesome to see, but there was basically no hopes in regards to that team. So a D rating for me.
I'd give them an F. Another F.
Ooh.
Williams, again, scored more than these guys. That's an F.
So what was your expectation for them? If they're getting an F, what precipitates that grade?
I would at least have them like either second or third from the bottom. My expectation was Williams was going to be at the bottom. Williams at the bottom, Alfa Romeo, then Haas, and then Alfa Tauri.
Okay. Well, it's warranted. F. I am going to give them a C plus. They ended exactly where I thought they would. I thought they would be last, which they were. They had some decent qualifying pace. Throughout the year, they definitely challenged for some grid positions and quali days. So I think they get a C+, because that's what I think. So that concludes our fun little game. Did everyone have fun? That's super fun.
I felt like a teacher just handing out grades all willy-nilly like that.
Just arbitrarily. Yeah, like it's the end of like the year. Real life, right?
Yeah.
It is real end of the year. So I've done some calculations. There are now 71 days until testing for the 2024 season begins. I think, where is it, Abu Dhabi or Brazil, or not Brazil, excuse me, Barcelona, wherever it is, 71 days until testing begins. Really quickly, what are we all looking forward to most in the 2024 season?
I am looking forward to hopefully a little bit more of a different how can I put this? Like a different champion, I guess. Deep down, I know it's probably going to be Red Bull again. They're probably going to dominate every single race or almost every single race. But I'm hoping someone else would be giving them a serious challenge, whether that's a Ferrari or Mercedes or Aston, and looking for some variety in the racing season a little bit more than this year. That's what I'm looking forward to and hoping to. Drew?
I'm looking forward to seeing how much the improvements on the cars are going to be. Like, who's going to take that step forward and who's going to take steps back? Or, you know what, maybe they're not going to take a step back. Who's going to take bigger step forwards than others? I think they're all going to take step forwards. They have to. You know, like, I think, is it 2025, the season that they're starting the reg change? So next...
26, I think.
26?
Yes, 25.
25, okay. So next year is the last year that they're going to be on these regs. So like, I'm excited to see how much they're going to take a step forward and who's going to take bigger steps forward, knowing that the regs are going to change. Or are they just going to put all their cards into a basket where, like, you know, fuck these regulations. We're just going to eat whatever comes our way next year. And then 2025, they're just going to start putting their eggs in that basket. Cause like, obviously that's the long-term play, but like, these guys still got to win a few races next season, or at least compete to win a few races next season. But I'm looking forward to seeing like what Lewis and George have in store. What happens with Checo? Like, does he just like shake off this season, come back strong? And like, what does Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris have to say? Like, are they going to continue to, you know, show up to bat every single race from the start of the season? Because like, those guys would definitely be in the contention for second and third place in the Constructors' Championship if everything else remained constant. Because like you mentioned, Thomas, I actually think that Red Bull's going to walk away with it next year. Like, I just don't think that there's any point in doubting that. They had such a large advantage this year. And unless, you know, there's some sneaky espionage happening, I don't imagine that any of the other teams are going to catch up in leaps and bounds. But I'd love to see that middle pack start to like tighten up a little bit. And if like Aston Martin, McLaren, Mercedes and Ferrari all come to play next year, like that second place is going to look real juicy. And like it went down to the final race this year. So like that was exciting. So even if there is a runaway again next year, I'm just looking forward to kind of seeing the best of the rest and just seeing like where that kind of ends up. And like, I'd love to see AlphaTauri have a reset. I'd love to see Alfa Romeo have a reset. Having Haas and Williams kind of scrap it out there in the middle, like that would be unreal. So I think, I am looking forward to next season. Obviously, there's a part of me that hopes and prays that Red Bull doesn't have anything crazy advantages against the other guys, or at least one of the other teams picks it up and like competes in a high level for that first place. That'd be amazing. But I am looking forward to seeing what these teams got on deck for next season. What about you, Ed?
Well, just like you, I'm looking forward to what McLaren's going to do in the next season. Ferrari, to see if they're going to improve the cars or not. Aston Martin, same thing. And with Mercedes as well, same thing. Like they're kind of like sister teams in a way. To see if they're going to improve the power unit. And even just their cars, their aero, and the way everything is set up. But what I'm really, the story that I'm really looking at right now are mainly just Red Bull for the next season. First story is Checo's seat. Is he going to keep his seat or not? Is Ricciardo or Tsunoda going to replace him? Or is Checo going to make a run for the championship after like a really, really bad season? And then the other storyline that I'm looking at, Max doing a perfect season. Quali and race. P1 on both, including the sprint races. I'd like to see it happen. Because he's gotten to that extent now that he's almost on God mode. So I want to see a perfect season. Like, well, total domination. Destroy the entire field. He's done it already this season. A few mistakes here and there. Ferrari taking some wins. But I want him to, like, dominate and destroy the entire field.
And, so that's what you're looking forward to?
Win every race.
You're looking forward to no competition.
Well, I'll be a realist. No one's going to match up to Red Bull. So the next thing I'm looking at is I want to have Max do a perfect season.
Well, that's,
you know, stamp himself into the history books.
So should we hand him the fucking prize now and just call it a day? Or yeah. What are we doing here?
Well, he's already stamped himself in the record books. Yeah. He has the
records. I want higher than that. Higher than that.
Well, from my point of view, that sounds terrible. I am, however, looking forward to... I'm really looking forward to seeing what Mercedes can do with their car next year. Yes, you know, self-proclaimed fanboy, love the team, fan of the drivers. I get that. I don't really see another team right now that is poised to really challenge Red Bull. I know McLaren came on strong. It'll be interesting to see if they can carry the momentum. But really, for me, Mercedes is going to be the most interesting team to watch at testing at the beginning of the year. They've been touting this new car. They've been developing this new platform that they've really been focusing on for the, you know, the second half of the year. So what I'm really looking forward to seeing is how close can they get to that Red Bull and can they pose a serious challenge to them next year? Because I don't see it coming from Ferrari, whether it's because of the car or because of just the way that team is managed, the strategy perspective. McLaren, I think they made some great steps, but clearly that car, you know, works really well on some tracks and really poorly on others. So I don't know if they have the consistency that Mercedes has. So we'll see what comes from them. And 71 days, we'll have lots of time to pontificate on it until then. Before we wrap up this episode, I thought what better way to wrap it up than by playing our favorite game, Name That Sponsor. We need some theme music. That's what we need to get for like next season. We got to get some.
Yeah, we'll get a song for it. Yeah.
Yeah. because it would have been much more effective if it was just not silence there because no one said anything.
Like the Price is Right type of deal.
Yeah,
like,
that's about it. Yeah.
It's got to be like a,
some game show. Yeah, record that, Drew. You can do that.
Yeah, I'll record that. Just do that. We'll get that sorted.
So you know how it works. I'm going to name a sponsor. You have to tell me which team it is on and what that company does.
We got to get buzzers.
We are,
you know, like me, like we got to. Like,
yeah. How do we buzz? Is there a buzz? We can't buzz.
No, we can't buzz. There's no buzzing in.
Okay.
No.
All right. It's okay. We'll just manually buzz. We'll mouth buzz. Okay.
Wow. I wish I could go for a few of those tonight. Jesus.
Everyone know how to mouth buzz, Thomas? Have you done that before?
Oh, yeah. He's definitely done that before.
The first one, our first name that sponsor is Siva. C-E-V-A. Siva.
Ding, ding, ding. I'm going to go with... It's on the Alfa Romeo car, and I think they are some sort of IT tech solution.
Okay. Tell Thomas to look at the chat.
Thomas, look at the chat.
Siva, no clue, but I'm gonna steal yours, Drew, and I'm gonna say Alfa Romeo, and I'm gonna say something with crypto.
Okay.
Ed? Aston Martin, water company.
Water company. I can't believe none of you fuckers got this one. This was a gimme. At least half of it was. They are on Ferrari, and they do logistics.
God damn. Yeah.
Logistics?
No way.
Logistics.
I literally got nothing, and I would have gotten this.
No.
You were fucking with me on this, weren't you? You were playing with me on this.
It was a softball. Okay. It was supposed to be the easy one. God damn.
Okay.
All right. The second one is, hold on, let me get the chat back here so Thomas can play along. Stevens.
Ding, ding, ding. Stevens. I want to say it's some sort of watch company, and I want to say, this is total random guess, but I'm going to say Williams.
I'm going to say it's on McLaren, and they are a tool rental company.
I would say
stop looking that shit up, Ed.
Yeah, I can see you on that.
I can see you on your computer.
On interweb.
No! Hands up. Hands up. I'm not typing anything.
Mm-hmm. It's got Siri on lockdown.
I would say Haas Industrial Company Manufacturing.
All right. Who said Williams? Thomas said Williams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thomas got it half right. They are with Williams, and they are an independent financial services firm for all your independent financial services needs.
Sweet. Fuck those guys.
Yay.
I mean, unless they want to sponsor us, then they're awesome. Lose their services.
Yeah. The next one is Castor.
Ooh.
Castore?
That's got to be on Ferrari. And they are a restaurant equipment company.
This is going to be a total shot in the dark. Haas and logistics.
Alpine and oil.
Okay. Drew, that was a really interesting angle you took with the food services. What was it? Food equipment?
Yeah, food equipment. Restaurant equipment? Yeah, food equipment, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was wrong, but it was just like a really interesting place you went to because that's like completely out of left field. No, so
it's Castor, wrong, but like neat.
Just like cool. So they are sponsors for Red Bull, and they are premium performance sportswear. They exist for one single reason, to make athletes better.
I thought that's what Under Armour does.
Interesting.
Isn't that what Nike does?
Well, it's also Castor. Castor? Castor. Castore.
That's where you got me. That's why I said Ferrari
and restaurant equipment because you said Gastore, and I was like, oh, that's definitely, they make some pasta or some what? Shit. You know
what I mean? Hey, I did not say that. I did not say it like that. I just gave multiple pronunciations, but I think they are a UK company. So can you say that in a British accent?
That's Gastore, ain't it?
Yeah, there you go. That's pretty good. There you go. So there we go. No one won. We're all losers.
We're all fucking losers.
I mean, sorry. You guys are all losers. I was just kind of moderating the game.
Moderating the loserdom.
I'm moderating the loserdom. This was fun. Glad we got a chance to connect, kind of do a little recap of the season. I know Thomas can't hear me, so he brought us into this. Does he want to take us out? Thomas, you want to do the outro?
Thomas, you into doing an outro for us, buddy? I think you should do it.
An outro, man. I'm not prepared for an outro. How about
it's like the intro, but in reverse.
But I don't even know next time when we're gonna be back on. It's not gonna be next week. It might be next year. I'm not ready for this.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
No one told me there was gonna be a
too much pressure, especially now that I can't see Walker. I'm under too much pressure, man. I can't do this next time though. I want to do it next time, but not this time.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. This has been Parc Fermé, the Formula One Canadian. Oh, shit, man. It's been too long.
The Canadian. Do it.
The is Parc Fermé, the Canadian Formula One podcast. There we go. We got it. You can always rate, leave a review, subscribe, come check us out on the Discord. We are going to be back very soon with another episode. Lots to talk about, lots to look forward to. Only 71 days. It doesn't sound that bad. When you put it that way, does it? I don't think so. Until next time, everybody, boys, it's been a pleasure. Thomas, you can't hear me, but love you, boo. And we'll see you guys next time.
Happy New Year, guys.